When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I'm here working for you too.
Hey, Gecko, can you record my voicemail greeting?
No problemo.
You've reached the amazing Rita. She's probably busy right now teaching music theory to neighbourhood birds or telling a total stranger how they can bundle home and car insurance with Geico to get the discounts they deserve. But rest assured, she'll get back to you once she's done brightening her little corner of the world.
Did that sound all right?
Nailed it. No notes.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Marymeadow podcast. I am your host, Liz Fidler, and today we're going to talk about diving deep into the concept of going deeper and not wider with your customer base. So my flower farm, I am entering year five, really year one and two. Year one was just kind of a hobby garden with a flower stand. Year two was, you know, fulfilling the subscriptions that I had already pre-sold. And that was when I was pregnant right after my husband passed away. And so it was just kind of a weird year. But so really, I would say we're entering year three of my true business model like it is today. But technically, it's year five of having my business, having my customer base. And year one and year two, I would say we're definitely just a crash course and lessons on what not to do. Year three of my business, I had microwave growth, not crock pot growth, which isn't necessarily, you know, a great thing. I did not have systems in place. I didn't have, you know, a method of collecting orders the way I should have. I definitely didn't know which ways I needed to invest. I knew I needed help. I didn't know what I needed help with. So I just took any option I could. I just kept saying yes to every single opportunity because I needed to bring in revenue and I needed to figure out ways to sell flowers. But year four was a lot easier. And year five, I am really not changing much going into the season. And so I do have my course, Peddling Perishable Products, that is essentially all about those lessons learned. Last fall, 2023, we did the first group. Spring of 2024 here, we're just finishing up the second group. And by popular request, we're going to do another group in June because a lot of people have asked me and I'm like, well, okay, yeah, I guess we can do it. So, you know, we have it down to 3 weeks now, but you can go back and you can do it. But so we are doing the next round in June. And I guess my point is, if you find this information helpful, and I hope that this episode is, I want it to be useful, but I'm not going to get like the absolute nitty gritty of everything because I simply cannot in the time constraints of these episodes because all of the lessons work well together and it's a adaptive process instead of a technical fix. But I just want to explore, you know, not spreading yourself too thin, focusing on building stronger relationships with a smaller group of customers, and rather than trying to attract this huge, vast audience. And there's a lot of things that go into it, but we're also going to talk about the mindset work that needs to be done when it comes to something like this. It's keeping your ego in check. And, you know, because I can sit here and be like, I sell 5,000 bouquets, which I do. But this year, I'm hoping to sell even a little bit less and, you know, keep everything streamlined and, you know, hire more help and work more on my business than in my business. But again, it's so easy to just get distracted by the numbers and the notoriety and the vanity and, you know, having all of that. So let's explore why selling more of a product to one customer, for example, having 10 customers buy 10 bouquets or products instead of having 100 customers buy one product or bouquet can be incredibly beneficial for your business. So basically, you know, of my 5,000 bouquets, I have about 350 customers that buy 10 to 15 bouquets every year. And I have, you know, another 150 or so that buy one or two. So I have probably about 500 customers total to buy those bouquets. I don't need 5,000 bouquets. I just need a lot of repeat customers. So here's an example. My spring bouquets, I ended up having 18 less customers for my spring subscriptions, but I took it from 4 weeks to 6 weeks. And so I had a total of 504 bouquets instead of 400 bouquets with 18 less people. So additionally, I made them slightly larger, or maybe I caught up to what was market appropriate, and I charged $5 or more a piece. So that made the profit margin even more. So I sold 104 more bouquets to 18 less people, and my profit margin was way higher. So why go deeper? Well, going deeper with your customers means making a relationship where they trust you enough to keep buying from you. It is understanding their needs so well that you can anticipate what they'll need next from you and offer it to them. So again, it's hard because, you know, flowers, well, they're not a need, they're a want. Well, yes, if you are looking at the basis of it being a bouquet, then yeah, that's a want. But that's not what they're getting. They're not getting a bouquet. They are getting a connection to nature. They are getting that peace to come out. My favorite customer, I shouldn't say my favorite customer. I have a lot of favorite customers. But one of my favorite stories that I've heard from a customer is her subscription that she gets. And her favorite part about it is every single Tuesday, she comes out to my farm after work and picks up her bouquet. And just when it's starting to wilt and not looking as good, it's time to go get another one. And she's like, Liz, you don't understand what that bouquet means to me when I look at it. She's like, I look at it and I see the fact that after work on Tuesday, she goes, every single day, I pick up the kids from daycare, I get home, I make supper, I get everything ready. You know, my husband gets home and, you know, it's just chaos every evening. Well, on Tuesdays, she leaves work and comes straight to my farm instead, which I am 25 minutes from where she lives and I'm probably 15 minutes from where she works. So that, you know, coming to get her flowers, she gets home about an hour and 15 minutes later. And she said on Tuesdays, my husband, it's an extra 5 minutes out of the way for him, but he has to pick up the kids and start supper. And she's like, that is what that bouquet subscription means to me. She's like, it's my night off, guilt-free, that whole drive there. I'm just relaxed and I get home and her husband is, she's like, he's so much more appreciative of what I do day to day. She's like, your flowers have brought this, like, he makes it a priority to, like, yep, have supper ready and not just, you know, be chaotic and, you know, just appreciate all that she does behind the scenes. And she's like, I know it sounds silly, but like, that's what that subscription means to me. And her husband bought it again for her for Christmas and did a 10-week summer and a 6-week spring. So she's like, those 16 weeks total that I get to do that, like, this is for me. And so, yeah, is it a need or is it a want? To me, to her, it's a need. And so I think, you know, when you are able to understand what the customer is going to need, because you get to know them so well. And so reduced advertising costs, attracting new customers is very, very expensive. It requires a lot of marketing and advertising and just the time that it takes. And yeah, you could say, well, social media is free and email's free and da, 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 da. Yes and no, but only if they look at it and only if they read it and the time that it takes to really, you know, focus on selling more to your existing customers, you just get to reduce the need for constant outreach and saving you time and money. And for me, it's mostly done through sending my emails. I mean, my social media, I use it to post about my newsletter for the most part, or just, you know, here's attention, but I don't try to get sales off of it just because of how the algorithms are. And I try to just attract people to my email newsletter. And then that way I can send it out and there we go. The other thing is, you know, going deeper, not wider. It just helps you with that customer loyalty. So customers who buy from you repeatedly, they develop a loyalty, not just to your products, but to your brand, to you. And they're more likely to refer friends, leave positive reviews, and just contribute to the overall growth of your business. It also is a way better use of your time. So training new customers on how to use your products or services takes time. So when I sell to my existing customers or my repeat customers, they already know how to do it. They already know to trim the stems. They already know where the subscription pickup room is. They already know to change the water. They already know, you know, that, you know, how to reach me. They already know when they can switch days. And it just, you can spend more time improving the product and services rather than explaining them and teaching the customers and answering emails. Those one-off sales take so much time, and trying to process them and just, you know, figuring out how to collect payment. And I see all of these new growers in these cut flower groups, and they're saying, you know, this 3% fee on Venmo or this fee on PayPal, and it's a business expense and it's the cost of doing business, and it's okay. Factor it into your price and move on. Because guess what? If I took orders, you can mail a check, or you can Venmo me, or you can drop off cash, or you can whatever for the spring subscriptions. Nope, I do it on my website. And then today, I finally, because I closed my spring subscriptions last night, I logged in, I exported it into an Excel spreadsheet, you know, descended the column, you know, put it in alphabetical order. Boom. There I have my entire list of every single spring subscription holder. It took me 3 minutes versus every single time you get an order, pause. Whereas instead, I have it hooked up to my smartwatch, and every time I get an order, it dings, gives me a notification. Sometimes I glance at it. Sometimes I don't even look into it because I'm like, well, I'll worry about it later. And I do a little happy dance and I move on. And that's all I do. I don't have to write it down. I don't have to see who it is. I like to see who it is so that if I see them in person, but I don't have to worry about writing it down, keeping track of it. What's their date? Like, nope, my system does that for me. So for 3% of that bouquet fee to literally save me dozens of hours, yep, that's absolutely worth it for me. Also, having repeat customers, it's so much less stress. Constantly seeking new sales when you have a perishable product is so stressful and unpredictable, because if we don't sell them, we throw them away. So by focusing on repeat customers, it just provides a way more stable and predictable revenue stream, and it can lead to just a more peaceful experience. So I think, you know, one thing that you definitely have to focus on when you're going to do this and try to really go deeper, not wider, with your customers. For example, I raised my prices slightly, so they're a little bit bigger, a little bit better of the bouquets. And then I made them 6 weeks instead of 4 weeks for my spring subscriptions. Well, there are a lot of people that are like, oh, can you do a half share? Can you do this? Can you do that? I'm like, well, try to find someone to split it with. And it's so hard because I want to make all those customers happy, but I will spend so much time trying to tailor it when it's like, nope, this is my product. If you want something else or something a la carte, as much as I would love to lock in those sales, come to a stem bar, come to a U-Pick. You know, the subscription just might not be for you, because I need to set it up in a way that is profitable for my business, that is predictable. That's the biggest thing, is it's predictable for me, or those repeat customers are predictable for me. And so to overcome this, I would say focus on your end goal. Keep your eye on the prize. Remember why you started your business and who you started it for. But just remember that not everyone is your ideal customer, and that is okay. And you need to realize that you cannot serve everyone. So by trying to tailor make a price point and a size and a frequency and a date that's going to meet everyone, it is a surefire way to burn out. So concentrate on serving your target market well, and let go of the fear of missing out of potential customers. So in my Peddling Perishable Products course, this is like the very first module that we do. First, focus on goal setting. We talk about our why. We talk about the ideal life we want to live. We talk about what this business is going to do. Is it a side hustle in addition to your 40-hour a week job? Is it, you know, a way for you to cut part-time at work and then supplement that income? Or is this going to be your full-time goal? We look at that life you want to live. And then unfortunately, we do have to assign a dollar amount to that, because it costs money to live. And so at least now you have an idea, and you can analyze your P&L statements and figure out, like, what is the most profitable? What is the most sustainable? What are my hours available? What is my ideal life? Not just building a business around your life, that you have, but building a business around the life that you want. And it just keeps us all from chasing every single sale and running our business in the state of chaos. And like I said, it's so easy to focus on vanity metrics and if I'm selling less of something, but really it's an arbitrary number and it doesn't mean anything. So yeah, my spring subscriptions, it's only 82 instead of 100. Yeah, but it's 6 weeks instead of 4 weeks and they're $5 more. Like, do that math, figure it out, figure out the time. And so I think remember quality over quantity. So embrace the idea of having a smaller number of really deeply engaged customers is more value than a large number of disengaged ones. Focusing on deepening those relationships, quality over quantity. We're going to do a quick break from this episode, and I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back. I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is, and I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at $10 an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode. I have 5,300 people that follow me on Instagram and I have, 7,000 on Facebook, something like that. And then my email list has, 2,600 people. I've had a couple hundred people unsubscribe and it's kind of funny. Sometimes they're like, oh, it's spammy. She sends it too often. It's salesy. It's like, well, yeah, it's my business. Of course it's salesy. But you know, people, and I try to include like the podcast episodes and I try to include value and I try to, you know, there's a lot of things, but it's not for everyone. And if someone unsubscribed, they were never going to be a customer anyway. I was, you know, I'm wasting time. I'm wasting space because it costs me money to have them on my email list because my email list is so large. So it's like acknowledging that, you know what, I wasn't for them and that's okay. And don't take it personal. And so I think, you know, focusing on those deep relationships, followers do not equal customers. All right. That doesn't equal sales. You have no idea of what really goes on behind the scenes with someone, you know, and I know that there's all of these flower farmers making courses, making content. And I firmly give the benefit of the doubt. I think that they are very smart businesswomen because I know what it takes behind the scenes to create a course, create a podcast, whatever. I think you're going to learn something from everyone. It's finding that person that you mesh well with and what is going to be like the ongoing thing. And so, you know, those deepening relationships, if we pivot here from my customers that buy my flowers to, you know, my customers that buy my courses or that sign up for my coaching, we now have a private Peddling Perishable Products podcast. And so twice a month I record episodes. Everyone who's ever taken the course gets to submit questions and then I answer them. And then it's basically group coaching in the setting of a podcast. And it's amazing. So I just recorded one going through like all of the cost, expenses, breakdown, labor, everything of my spring subscriptions. For obvious reasons, I don't want to put that on a public podcast. Okay. People don't get it. And if they hear that number and like, oh my gosh, she's making this or she's making that. If you don't see the full picture, I don't want that on a public podcast. I don't want my neighbors gossiping about X, Y, Z because they would only hear a fraction of it or see it on the surface. Whereas the peddling students, they get it. And it's a vulnerable thing to share my QuickBooks, share my basically my bank statements, share my like the behind the scenes of like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And these are the hours that we spend in this. And like, that's what happens on the private podcast and like answering their questions. So anyway, so it's just focusing on those deeper relationships because I just can't answer emails from everyone. So it's like, well, those people that have taken peddling, there's 25 of them so far or whatever. If they send me a question, I will take the time to continue that ongoing relationship with them. And then I think listening to your customers is so important. So engage with those repeat customers. Their feedback is so invaluable in understanding what works and what doesn't. So use their information to improve and tailor your offerings that you have. So I just think, you know, shifting your focus from acquiring new customers to deepening the relationships with the existing ones that you have can lead to a more sustainable, enjoyable, and profitable business. My very first subscriptions, I turned those farm stand, those people that I knew came every single week, they turned into subscription holders. So it's quality over quantity, it's building loyalty, and it's ultimately creating a brand that people love and trust. So, you know, it could be the key to making a sustainable business. And the word sustainable, you know, my friend Lexi at the Farming on Purpose podcast, she talked about this, you know, sustainable in the world of agriculture, it's becoming more of a like practices and, you know, what is good for the environment and what is best for this and best for that. And I totally, totally agree mostly, but she came up with a really, really good point that said, if it's not sustainable for the family that is doing the work, then it is not a sustainable practice. And so we have to find ways to like, okay, yes, we're supposed to do this and do this by hand and don't use this and don't use the tractor, and don't do whatever it might be, but it's just not possible. Like there's going to be some fuel emissions. There's going to be this, there's going to be that, but keeping our eye on the prize. And of course I am committing to growing more sustainable practices and I'm starting to really learn about what all of that means. But when I say sustainable, it at the end of the day, it means that the person doing the work has to be able to sustain that. So I think, you know, shifting your focus, deepening those relationships, and, you know, just trying to focus on those deeper connections. So another thing that I want to talk about is I'm going to try in these more monologue-y episodes to do a little bit more of an option for continuing education or growth. Okay, so I get asked all the time, how do you stay motivated? How do you stay disciplined? How do you stay organized? And I can honestly say for the last 10 years, I have probably listened to, I don't know, 30 Audible books on, you know, entrepreneurship, on marketing, on time management, on personal goals, on my faith, on, you know, family, on being a mom, on being a working mom, whatever it might be. And I am constantly learning. And I will take like one little tip from each book and carry it forward. Sometimes it's not for me. A lot of the themes are overarching and they overlap. And it's like, oh, well, I already do this, but okay. But it's ways of like time blocking versus to-do lists or whatever it might be. So I'm going to try to include some of those books at the end. And just, you know, the link is going to be included at the bottom. You know, you can either get an Audible subscription if you get the ebook, which is what I do because I don't have time to sit and read a book, or you can buy the physical book. But the one I want to talk about today is called The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan. And he is the co-founder of this thing called the Strategic Coach, which is a like psychological concept. He teaches all of these different ways for entrepreneurs. I've never taken this course, but I'm curious. It's a really expensive one though. I think it's like $5,000 and they like overhaul your business. And I want to do it, but I don't think I quite need it. So I don't know. We'll see. It's like a bucket list. That would be a thing that I would spend my 5% profits from the book Profit First on. But anyway, so this gap in the gain, basically it talks about a perspective on how individuals measure their progress and their achievements and significantly impacting their motivation, their satisfaction, and their overall happiness. So for me, you know, the gap in the gain, I set a goal to increase the number of, you know, bouquets that I would sell or whatever. And I didn't meet that number. Because the biggest thing was any customers that didn't sign up for a spring subscription, there were only a few that didn't sign up and a few of them actually moved. But most of them that didn't sign up, they were like, you know, it was $100 last year. Now it's $180. It went from like, to like, meh, that's a bigger commitment. And a lot of them, probably 10 of them, bought two last year. So they bought one for themselves and one for a friend. And they're like, well, $180, $100 for a friend, it's a splurge, but like it's a good gift. Whereas now $180, that's a lot of money. And so, you know, if I was in the gap and all I did was focused on, you know, where I'm at to where I currently want to be. And so it's talking about getting your mindset in the gap or the gain. And it's so good for entrepreneurs or people that are driven when really there is no end goal. My end goal is always moving. I don't know what my goal is for podcast numbers, for sponsorships, for speaking, for my book, for whatever. It's so easy to just like, oh, well, I met my goal, but like, let's not even celebrating it. Whereas 3 years ago, if I was where I was now, I would be so excited. And so I think, you know, when you're trying to go deeper, not wider with your customers, it's focusing on that end goal and focusing on the gain, because reminding yourself that like, oh, well, I didn't have as many of this, or I, you know, I didn't sell out of this event, or my post only got this many likes, or whatever it might be, when really look at your ultimate goal and how far you have come, and then it just gets easier. So the gap is the distance between where you currently are and where you want to be. So your ideal future of goals. So when you're in the gap, you're focused on what's missing and what you have not achieved yet and how far you still have to go. And that mindset leads to just dissatisfaction, inadequacy, and even failure, no matter how much progress you have actually made, because you, when you're in the gap, you're measuring success against an ideal, and it's an ideal that is always moving and it's always out of reach. So this really diminishes the value of the real achievements that you have made along the way. If you looked back, you would be so proud of yourself and how far you have come. Whereas the gain is about recognizing and valuing the progress you've made from your original starting point. Like when you look back and measure your achievements based on how far you've come, that's when you're in the gain. And it gives you positive emotions. You're more satisfied. You've got more gratitude and confidence. And it just encourages this sense of accomplishment. And it motivates you to have further growth because you're acknowledging the actual progress you've made rather than fixating on what's still ahead. So how to apply this? Like I said, reflecting regularly. Make it a habit to reflect on your progress regularly. Look back at where you started, acknowledge the steps you've taken and the obstacles you've overcome. You know, for me, that might be even, you know, looking at my rows of flowers and the productivity per stem because I actually fertilized or I actually pulled the weeds ahead of time so they didn't get choked out, and the bloom size and harvesting and just, you know, the vase life or whatever it might be. For the actual like physical, how I'm growing the flowers or how I'm selling the flowers or the number of them, or honestly, the time it takes to send one email versus what I would do of constant social media posts because I've already built my email list. So set realistic goals. So while it's good to have ambitious goals, make sure they're realistic and broken down into milestones that you can actually achieve, and celebrate every single one of those milestones as a gain. So look how far you have come instead of how far you still have to go. And just train your mind to focus on what you've achieved rather than what's missing. And it's probably a conscious effort at first. And trust me, I'm still going with it, but it will become more natural over time. And the other thing that I found super helpful is sharing your gains. So sharing your achievements with others that can reinforce that sense of progress and just that culture of appreciation and a positivity around you. That's what I love about this little like group that we've created with the Peddling Perishable Products students. Like they're submitting questions now on, hey, you know, my spring subscriptions were here. Like we can share the wins of each other. And it really is this small group of, you know, the same level of goal setting. I don't know how else to describe it, but by embracing the concept of the gap and the gain, you can transform your approach to personal development and just have a more positive outlook on, you know, what you're doing. And so again, going deeper, not wider with your customers. If I am in the gap, it's like, well, I wanted to have this many customers and this many customers and this many people. And I wanted more people to know about it. And I wanted more followers on social media. And I wanted, you know, more of this and more of that because it's more successful. when really, no, look how far you've come. Don't get, you know, get caught up on those vanity metrics of, you know, whether it's social media or whatever, and, you know, what someone else is doing versus what you're doing. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, sometimes I get so, you know, when I see people growing these huge fields of dahlias, and then I have to remind myself that doesn't work for me here in Minnesota in zone 4B, because guess what? I don't have dahlias until maybe the last week of August, really the first week in September. And our frost hits, it could be September 20th. It does not make sense for me to grow that many dahlias when they're only going to be blooming for such a short window of time. Whereas people south of me, they have them for 8 to 10 weeks. It is way more profitable for them to be doing it. So like that's being in the gap, right? Of like, well, I can't do this, but I got to figure it out. And it's like, no, I have culled my varieties. I only have the early prolific bloomers now. I'm switching out which kind of dahlias I have. If it's one that doesn't bloom till September 10th, sorry, you're out of here. I'm putting you on the tuber sale. Not saying that that wouldn't be a perfect option for someone else. And if I grew on a smaller scale and was a hobby gardener, I could just cover it with a sheet and, you know, there's one bouquet, or I could plant it in a pot. And it's not saying that that's not a great option for someone else, but it's focusing on my ideal goal and, you know, being in the, hey, look at all the progress I've made so far. It's fine. So just, you know, not comparing yourself to others. And yeah, so go ahead, head to the episode notes if you needed anything, any resources from it. But here is my lesson on going deeper, not wider with your customers. I mean, you can go wider too. It's kind of fun. You can do a little bit of both, but you know, keep recruiting those new customers, but you don't have to. So thank you guys so much for listening. I'm always looking for different ideas for episodes. We are starting to get in some new sponsors. We're starting to have our, you know, structured when the episodes come out. And I'm really excited the way this community is building. And I think, you know, the response for, you know, how many listeners we have now compared to when we first started, and being able to tell which episodes do well, which don't. So thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers, but the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written blog form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.